I am so pleased to have two guests across the desk from me here in Studio D in Classical at Classical WMUK. One is Anthony J. Hamilton, director of Into the Woods, the Western Michigan University Theater production that opens this weekend. And the other is a member of the cast who plays the narrator slash mysterious man. It's Isaiah Lee. Thank you both for being here this morning to talk about the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to let listeners know that the season started with a production called Liss. And that was, I think, just last weekend. And it's still running. It's a kind of a special show that no one's ever seen before.
Yeah, there's two more performances of Liss. It's directed by Kate Thompson, who is a professor in the theater department. And I believe they have a 7:30 performance on Saturday, and they close with a matinee on Sunday, I believe.
Good. Well done. I think you're right. And everything is actually available if you go to WMUtheater.com. So you'll find all the details there. We are here to talk about a classic musical of the modern era, roughly, by Stephen Sondheim called Into the Woods. Full disclosure, I'm part of the production as a flutist in the pit. And this will be my third time in the pit for Into the Woods.
Wow.
It's kind of turned it into one of my very favorite musicals just from a music perspective, being the story is fantastic, the music is fantastic, and I think the rhyming is really just jaw-dropping in this piece. So Anthony, please tell us how you were engaged to direct this production. And why you may have said, yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Well, first of all, we're so lucky to have you being an instrumentalist for us. Joan Harrington, the chair of the theater and dance department here at Western, approached me about teaching while DeWandra Lampkin is on sabbatical this semester. Sure. So I said sure to that. And as we were preparing for the school year, she came back and said, hey, would you like to direct as well? And I thought, yeah, if I'm going to be around, I would love to sink my teeth into something, a good show. I didn't know what it was going to be. And then I found out that it was going to be Into the Woods. And it's one of my favorite shows ever. It's actually the show that got me into theater. So it feels like a huge full circle moment for me to be coming back to Western doing this show that got me into theater in the first place. So thank you, Joan, for having me back. And I'm just so excited about sharing this with the community.
The casting process, so that we can talk to Nathan a little, or to Isaiah a little bit. There's a cellist named Nathan Lee.
Understandable.
So let's talk about how far back that went when the casting calls went out and who self-selected them, you know, to get there and start preparing for an audition.
Yeah, very interesting. I cast this show through Zoom auditions. I mean, elephant in the room, we're still in the era of COVID, so we weren't able to have in-person auditions. But I tell you, I absolutely knew that I had a stellar cast just looking at them on screen on the laptop. And when we got in the room, I felt like I made the right decisions because it's a stellar cast. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Isaiah, what you're like, Into the Woods. Were you like, what's that? Or yeah. Were you like, oh my gosh, I got to do that one?
I knew about it, and I just knew how much just like weight it carried with just like how much of a classic it is. Immediately looking at like what I kind of like draw to in terms of like sometimes I'm not really particularly like, oh, I want to get cast in this. I want to get cast in this. But I think for this season, I was particularly hoping to be a part of this, I guess. Most of what I've done at Western has been plays, and I felt being in a musical really was that out of the box thing I really wanted to be a part of. But like Anthony had said over the Zoom calls, it was a little weird, but we have previously been doing this since COVID started, whether that be like self-tapes for classes or auditions in the past even too. COVID really shake things up in terms of that, but I think everyone in the department has firm roots now in being confident through the video screen, whether that be here or possibly out in the industry once you graduate too. But
how close is that for you? What year are you at Western?
I'm a senior right now at Western. My graduation will probably be about next semester, though, just because I've transferred here through to start doing theater here. actually.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were at another school.
Yeah, I was at Hope College in Holland, Michigan, an hour north of here.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I was not doing theater. I started off doing computer science. I thought making money was what was going to make me happy. My artist brain halfway through that semester was like, this isn't for me. So I started doing theater there and realized this is what I wanted to do. I've been doing it since high school, and I think that switch really turned on a light for me. And I started auditioning places. I thought in the back of my head I wanted to, and fortunately, and I'm honored, but got a place to do here. And honestly, my life has turned around for just so much the better being here. I've learned so much and met so many amazing people and have amazing opportunities like this to work with Anthony.
Well, small world, Isaiah. I have two younger brothers, and they both attend Hope College.
Oh,
they're athletes.
One thing I'm noticing right away, having been at a rehearsal on Sunday, Isaiah, you have a terrific sense of where to put your voice. It sounded lower. It sounded more authoritative. It sounded kind of like I'm telling the story on stage. Voices, I always listen to how people use their speaking and their singing voices because it can be so effective, and it's also possible to forget the technique of like spacing things out, getting them across, getting them that far away. Mm-hmm. And you've got that touch. You've got that going for you.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Which is very important in a narrator. Now, why do you think Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine set it up with a narrator?
Well, you've got to have somebody to get you into the piece. I mean, there's a lot of characters, a lot of fairy tale characters, and we're all familiar with most of these characters from childhood. But you got to have that one point person, if you will, to be the end. I call it the end. The narrator is the end to the piece. And what I love about what Isaiah does, and I saw it even in the Zoom auditions, is just what you mentioned, that authoritative presence, that vocal quality. It's a presence. That's the best way I can put it. He has a presence, and I think that's what the narrator role calls for because it sets the tone for the show.
There's a lot of counting involved here. This opening piece, which we're going to hear a little bit of, all these entrances come, some of them overlap each other. You are introducing each character as they come onto stage, sing their little bit, and you have to stay with it. I mean, did you just flat out memorize this beginning?
It was tough because I knew this was going to be the most challenging part, was intersecting all these fairy tales coming together, which is the really cool part about it. But going through it, I was nervous at first learning the piece as we were going through the music, but as it just kind of went along, it felt like I was just sitting in on their stories. I was just the performance they were giving, it didn't turn into work anymore. I was just right here with a story and telling people a story, and it became really easy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And may I say that this kind of part, any kind of part, I would think in a production works a lot of the same parts of the brain. I mean, it is intellectually difficult. There's a lot of challenge that you might have with a math problem or with advanced calculations. I mean, all the neurons are firing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To stay with an ensemble, but you're making art. So listeners, I'm waxing poetic a little too much about Into the Woods. I know too much about this. That's why I'm blabbering on. It starts September 24th, which is this week. You'll find full details on tickets and even season passes at WMUtheater.com. This will be held outdoors. We'll talk a little bit about that after we come back, but I want to hear the opening, and it starts with the narrator. Isaiah Lee is here. He's playing the narrator and mysterious man in the production, as is director Anthony J. Hamilton here with me, and we'll be back with more about Into the Woods.
I wish in a far-off kingdom
more than any
lived a fair maiden, a sad young lad,
I wish,
and a childless baker.
More
more than life.
I wish.
With his
more
wife.
More than anything.
More than the moon.
I wish.
The king is giving a festival.
More than life.
I wish.
I wish to go to the festival.
More than riches.
Festival.
I wish my cow would give us some milk.
More than any.
And perhaps a sticky bun or four. Birds in the sky. Birds in the eaves and the leaves and the fields and the castles and the ponds.
And a few of those ponds.
Down from the eaves and the leaves, over fields, out of castles and ponds.
No squeeze pan.
Well, it's a 12-minute number that opens the show, and we just heard about 3 minutes worth of Into the Woods from the beginning, just about. I missed, like, the first second. What is your first line?
Once upon a time, which I feel is no classic, just these fairy tales.
Really important to start the show.
Yeah.
With once upon a time. So as you can hear, these characters are showing up, talking about what they want or wish for, and we haven't yet found the motivation to go into the woods. And that has to do with the witch. And I'd just like to broadly talk, if or get your broad comments about your cast and some of the if you can name some of them and, you know, what they're bringing to these characters.
Yeah. Isaiah, please help.
For sure.
Let's start with, you mentioned the witch, and the witch is played by Grace Carroll, who is a theater major. If I can just insert here that one of the great gifts that I think I've had with working on this is coming in as an outside eye and being able to cast theater majors and musical theater majors and kind of have this cross of disciplines, which maybe isn't always the case, but for me, I was very intentional in doing that, having people who weren't necessarily musical theater majors in this show. And Grace is a wonderful example of that. She's an awesome singer and an awesome actress. And as the witch, you obviously need the singing, but the acting part is what really got me into Grace as the witch. So thought I'd mention her first. Who else do we have, Isaiah?
We have, I think, in addition to you coming in from the outside, I'm also an acting major as well. So it was a pleasant surprise to be involved in a musical. But that also means I get to meet tons of the musical theater majors I've never known before, or even find out Grace Carroll's an amazing singer that I didn't even know before, even being in the same right. in the same major in the same grade.
Right.
We have I recently met Teddy Theodore, who plays Jack, and he is just a wonderful light, and he brings that to Jack himself. And getting to know him personally and see him work on stage and hearing his wonderful, wonderful voice just bring the character to light, I think it's just been a joy being around him and working with him as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the witch, you mentioned Jack. You have some really incredible, I would say almost operatic voices that you've cast as the princes and Rapunzel.
Mm-hmm.
All she does is sort of operatic.
And I believe Kiara's a theater major as well.
Yes.
I think, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So kind of non-traditional casting here, but it's working. It's working. We have Mason and Allie as our baker and baker's wife, and they're doing amazing work. The chemistry is palpable. I love what they're doing with their relationship. Adam Nyhoff and Jack Doherty are our princes, and they are hilarious. It's a really well-rounded cast. Who am I missing? So many characters.
Yeah, so many characters in this. It's very much an ensemble show.
Yeah.
With a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to this idea that James Lapine and Stephen Sondheim put a bunch of fairy tale characters in the show. I did hear that Stephen was pretty confident it would be a hit because, you know, of that interesting twist.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what he does with these kind of simple stereotypes, or like they're not fully realized people, even in the fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
It's what he does with these stories, that still surprising and almost shocking, especially in Act Two.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's a lightness and a deep, deep profundity in the piece at the same time. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's – if you don't know the show.
let's do it.
Yeah, there's some spoilers I won't necessarily go into, but I will say that Act One is everything you expect from these stories. It's the stories as we know them. And Act Two is everything flipped on its head. I'll put it that way.
That was how rehearsal ended, or close, with we finished Act One and music director Cindy Hunter said, okay, we've just performed Into the Woods Junior.
Yep.
That's right. Because when they perform this production for high schools and middle schools, a lot of the time they don't do the second act. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do want to talk about the second act because I've had experience in my life of just not feeling fully a part of a family, or like there was a divorce and, you know, just I ended up just kind of not feeling connected a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And I know that I think that's what he's talking about, mm-hmm. is how mm-hmm. to find a family, or at least learn that we need to have that, learn to acknowledge the ties that we depend on each other.
Absolutely.
And that hits me every single time. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm talking about that deep profundity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sondheim is very clear. He says in several interviews that he had a kind of strained relationship with his mother. So I think some of that comes through in the writing for this piece, definitely. Act Two takes you on a journey where you're thinking that you knew these characters, and Act Two says, you don't know what you think you know. And here we're going to share with you some of the, I think what you're getting at, Kara, is some of the realities of life. It's not all happily ever after. And I think that's the beauty of Into the Woods, is that you get your happily ever after at the end of Act One, but Act Two is the price you pay for it.
That happens mm-hmm. to everybody. You wish for something, and actually you get it. And then it's like, well, I'm not, I haven't been transformed, you know, my exactly. life isn't that much different. Mm-hmm. But so that hits true as well. We said we were going to talk about the where the production is being held. Let's make sure our listeners are informed. We're outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be in a little nook, really, a small amphitheater between the York or Shaw Theater and Miller Auditorium.
That's right.
Yep.
And describe how you want to utilize the space.
Oh, it's beautiful out there. First of all, we're getting into fall, which is my favorite season. And I'll just tell you a quick story. Last night, we were in tech rehearsal, and there's a number in Act Two called Last Midnight that the witch sings. And there was a full moon, and you know, there were the clouds. And it was just, the ambience was just so wonderful last night. And I just thought, how lucky are we to be doing an outdoor production. Now, obviously, today it's overcast and we're expecting rain, so that does present problems, but we are, you know, we're going full steam ahead.
There are rain dates that have been held just in case a show can't go on. And when you say you do get a ticket for a night when the clouds open up, mm-hmm. Will you be notified, or do you have to call?
I believe Emily Duguay Arts Management in the box office will reach out if that's the case. Yeah. We're hoping that it's not. But but if it is the case, I believe they will reach out to you and offer you a ticket for one of the rain dates.
Some of the outdoor productions that were held in the sort of Miller Plaza on the steps of the Richmond Center, mm-hmm. People brought their own chairs, blankets, all of that. Is that true for this?
Do the same. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
I believe it'll specify on the tickets. There's a specific, you can choose two tickets on the date you choose. You can either choose the chair seating, which is, you know, chair set for you, or it's you can bring your own blanket. There's little spots for like almost like a picnic setting kind of.
Okay. So we've established the place. What is this going to look like? I mean, I can't really tell at this point, even though I've been to rehearsal. Mm-hmm. What design, what color, what kind of feel did you want for this?
I am going to say it for this production, we're kind of mixing a then and now. Into the Woods is generally known as kind of like a classic piece. I wanted a mixture of then and now. The costumes are pretty contemporary. There's not a lot of set pieces. You know, we're outdoors, so the set is minimal, minimal lighting. It's really about the story. That's what we were trying to get at, is the heart of the story in these characters. So it's minimalistic to a degree, but I think it's still going to be the show. I think we're still doing the show justice.
Mm-hmm. All right. You mentioned a standout named who's playing Jack, the
Teddy.
we love Teddy.
Who is like in the fairy tale, he goes up the beanstalk and kills the giant, which basically sets off the disasters in the second act. Mm-hmm. So let's take a musical break and
sure.
hear Giants in the Sky. This is him kind of. This is an awakening kind of song.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's been up there and he saw some things.
Oh, yeah.
There are giants in the sky. There are big, tall, terrible giants in the sky. When you're way up high and you look below at the world you left and the things you know, little more than a glance is enough to show you just how small you are. When you're way up high and you're on your own in a world like none that you've ever known, when the sky is lead and the earth is stone, you're free to do whatever pleases you, exploring things you'd never dare, cause you don't care when suddenly there's a big thought to explore. And you think of all of the things you've seen, and you wish that you could live in between, and you're back again, only different than before. After the sky, there are giants in the sky. There are big, tall, terrible, awesome, scary, wonderful giants in the sky.
From Into the Woods, that's Jack talking about going up the beanstalk and meeting the giant husband and the giant wife as well. Mm-hmm. If you just tuned in during the music, I'm with Anthony J. Hamilton, who is directing Into the Woods at Western Michigan University. It opens on the 24th. Is that Friday?
That's Friday.
Golly. Mm-hmm. Coming up this week. And I'm also here with cast member Isaiah Lee, who plays the narrator, keeps the whole thing together, and the mysterious man. And that's to do with Act Two and the two characters that are not actually fairy tale characters, the baker mm-hmm. and the baker's wife, which was a good idea, I think. You know, how do you choose which fairy tale character to kind of make the story about?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there's two original characters in the show. There's another song sung by Little Red Riding Hood that's mm-hmm. also kind of a, well, now I know things that I didn't know mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. much like this song. So for some reason, there's two songs just like that
yeah.
in the show. And why not? Little Red Riding Hood meets the big bad wolf and survives the encounter. And then she sings this song. Perhaps we'll listen to that and then talk a little more about
sure.
Into the Woods. Once again, I am with Anthony Hamilton and Isaiah Lee. Show opens Friday.
Mother said straight ahead, not to delay or be misled. I should have heeded her advice, but he seemed so nice. And he showed me things, many beautiful things that I hadn't thought to explore. They were off my path, so I never had dared. I had been so careful, I never had cared. And he made me feel excited, well, excited and scared. And take extra care with strangers. Even flowers have their dangers. And though scary is exciting, nice is different than good. Now I know, don't don't be scared. Granny is right, just be prepared. Isn't it nice to know a lot? And a little bit not.
That's another song from Into the Woods, which is sung by Little Red Riding Hood. And I am with Isaiah Lee, who is cast as the narrator in Into the Woods, a senior at Western Michigan University with a really cool backstory of getting this far with a computer science degree and then switching to theater, which is marvelous. And director Anthony Hamilton bringing it all to life starting Friday and continuing for a couple of weeks. Details at WMUtheater.com, where you can find info on tickets, how to attend. It's an outdoor performance. They're outdoor performances, so you can get totally prepared by checking out the website. I know things now that I hadn't known before. That's a theme in this. It's sort of waking up to reality is sort of a theme in Into the Woods.
Yes, and I'd just like to mention that our little red is played by Lulu Bushman.
she's got a job to do. Yeah. Just now off air, Isaiah, you were saying that at one point the cast kind of sat around and just talked about their ideas and impressions of what this all means and what's the key parts of the whole piece.
Absolutely. And it was just it was a chunk set aside for rehearsal just to talk about themes, what our characters want, and all the nuances, I guess, of the show. And it was just a lovely conversation to have. And just to mention that not only is the cast just as talented, but articulate with their thoughts and just about the show. It was just an amazing time to have. And we specifically talked about the song we just heard. One of the quotes we kind of took and broke down was, what was it? The very ending of it. Isn't it nice to know a lot and a little bit not?
Yeah. I almost regret, things you can't unsee, stuff you can't undo. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just a conveying theme throughout the show. And it pops up not only in this, but multiple times throughout other people's stories as well.
Yes, indeed. again, Into the Woods starts on Friday. And we should talk about the Cinderella character. She is quite important in the show. It also occurred to me to mention that there's a ton of jokes. I mean, every character has great lines.
Yes.
I mean, and I'm sure you're all just looking forward to some of these, timing them right and getting these, hilarious gags over.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of comedy in it.
There really is.
Mm-hmm. Our Cinderella is played by Megan Ludwig, and she has a great comedic sense and a great voice. I really lucked out with this cast.
Good to hear. She has to do a couple of major falls.
That's right.
As she leaves the ball.
That's right.
And meets up with the baker's wife. This song is called On the Steps of the Palace, and it sort of is a virtuosic rhyming song. Before we hear it, could I ask about how to begin to learn pieces that are this complex? How do you start from the simplest part?
Well, we started this process with 8-hour days. We had 8-hour rehearsals for 2 weeks before we went into 4-hour rehearsals nightly. So we spent a lot of time on our feet to begin with. And then, as Isaiah mentioned, later on we kind of digged into the text. We excavated the text. But we started off on our feet just doing the thing for 2 weeks, 8 hours.
In addition to that, because we had those 8-hour days, we had the show up and running, blocked within those 2 weeks, though.
Yes.
Which for us and a lot of the cast can agree is something often not common. Well, it'll be like right up until we open that it'll be like we feel confident in it. But we've had the luck and the great opportunity that we were able to get it on its feet at first and then dig into the details and excavating the text and really make it great.
Yeah.
As much as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're grateful for having spent 8 hour days
as weird as it sounds, it was a ton of fun, and everyone wanted to be there. Everyone was excited at the work and was passionate about it, and it made it fun, but also just trying to find the word. Not practical, but
yeah, because we're doing a thing, right? Like, we're all theater majors or theater professors, so we're working, but it was just a joyous, and it still is. It's not done yet. It's a joyous time.
Yes.
Anthony, were you also thinking that the sooner they have muscle memory of this show, the better? Because once you don't have to think about where you're moving. Mm-hmm.
And, precisely.
And when.
That was exactly. It was intentional to get the show on its feet and then to get. So you don't have so much to worry about. If you're worried about blocking, you're not worried about character. So I wanted to make sure the show was staged, and then we could go in and dig into the details.
Mm-hmm. Very smart. If you're listening, you just heard how much effort and work has gone into this, thought as well, characterizations, movement, and of course, great, great vocals. Into the Woods starts on Friday, and you can find tickets at WMUtheater.com. Here's On the Steps of the Palace.
He's a very smart prince. He's a prince who prepares. Knowing this time I'd run from him, he spread pitch on the stairs. I was caught unawares, and I thought, well, he cares. This is more than just malice. Better stop and take stock while you're standing here stuck on the steps of the palace. You'll just leave him a clue. For example, a shoe. And then see what he'll do. Now it's he and not you who is stuck with a shoe in a stew, in the goo. And you've learned something too, something you never knew. On the steps of the palace.
That's On the Steps of the Palace. I'm with Anthony J. Hamilton, the director of Into the Woods, as well as cast member who plays the narrator, Isaiah Lee. And that was actually a lovely little song. I've been focusing on all the really tricky, fast numbers. So Cinderella has a little bit of a wishy-washy problem the musical.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to be swept up by Prince Charming, but some part of her is like,
She doesn't actually want a prince. The lyric is she wishes to go to the festival. But what she gets from going to the festival is a prince. She didn't ask for that. So it's a very interesting type of dichotomy that she finds herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just want to go to the ball. I didn't want to fall in love and be a prince. You know, so it's so interesting what we wish for, what we think we wish for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The show opens on Friday. What else is anything worrying you about?
Me?
Yeah, in the next few days.
The weather.
Yeah.
Not my cat. Not the show at all. The show is in great shape. I'm so blessed to have this group and to be doing it here at Western. At this point, it's the weather. We're hoping the weather is going to cooperate with us. But everything else, from the pit to, I should mention Cindy Hunter is our musical director, and we go way back. She's amazing, and again, another blessing to have her. So we're in pretty good shape. We just want the weather to be nice to
us. Absolutely, yeah.
Could I take this little moment to ask you about the last few years of your professional life? I mean, I know that the last time we talked, it was for Once on This Island.
That's right.
Which you directed at the Kalamazoo Civic.
That's right.
And I think, my memory's not great, but it seemed like at the time you were living in some other state and came back in just as a guest director for that.
I had just moved to New York in the fall of 2018 when the artistic director of the Civic, Tony Humerkauser, called and said, hey, you want to come back and do Once on This Island? And I thought, well, sure, for that show, I would definitely do that. And then I went back to New York after the show closed. And obviously we all know what happened in March of 2020. I had actually made my directorial debut with an off-Broadway show for the Negro Ensemble Company called Grandma's Quilt. And we had two previews, and on March 13th, 2020, we closed when the Broadway League shut down all the theaters. So, yeah, I came back in March of 2020.
That's your COVID story.
That's my COVID story.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't suppose you were in a show about to open, I'd say.
We were, we had just cast the season. Oh. And unfortunately, we didn't, some shows, unfortunately, were about to open and had to get closed down right at then. We were about to start production for one of the shows, and then we also got closed down for that. So unfortunately, we didn't have the season as it was all prepared to go, and some people had to close early. But it's as COVID goes, and we're adapting, and that's right. How we have these outside shows. And thankfully, we do have these opportunities to continue doing our work safely.
Absolutely true. Anthony, you've moved into directing from acting, performing?
That's correct. I was a performance major here. I actually switched to become a theater studies major because directing became the focus. And then I went to grad school at the urging of the theater faculty, who absolutely knew what they were talking about. I'm so grateful for that. I went to Florida State University, Oslo Conservatory for actor training, and got an MFA. And then I came back home for a little while before I went to New York. So I'm so grateful to have had the educational aspect of my career, if you will, as someone who grew up here, performed at the Civic, performed at Farmer's Alley, performed at the Barn. Getting that educational aspect of training was really beneficial for me. Everyone doesn't need to go to school. Mm-hmm. But for me, I was able to marry what I had learned from working in this community to the higher education. And now look, here I am, a professor in the theater department. Just, you never know where life is going to take you.
Right. So do you like the big picture? As opposed to playing a part as a director, you're the father of it all.
It's so interesting. I have the same anxieties. I shouldn't call them anxieties. I have the same exhilaration as a director that I do as a performer. I have those butterflies. I have those, I guess they are anxieties, but not in a negative way. It's just that you care so much. You care so deeply. I think Isaiah can attest to that. I love my cast so much, and they have worked so hard. I'm not going to get emotional here, but I really care about it in the same way that I do as a performer. And I'm finding that out with my students in the classroom now, that I just care so deeply. Yeah.
Well, he must be a pretty great director to work for.
He has been absolutely wonderful to work with. I cannot state that enough.
Who are some of the other behind-the-scenes professionals who... it's a team that makes a production work, right? I mean, there's lighting, sound, there's costumes, yeah. There's sets. Western has a lot of that in place, and I'm hoping to hear that a lot of the regulars are back doing some of this work.
Yeah, we've got amazing theater faculty, obviously, working on the show. Jen Rock is our lighting designer. Catherine Wagner is our costume designer. We've got Dave Knopfsinger overseeing Everett, who is our scenic designer. Sound design is by Meg Schelling. So we've got a great group of students mixed with faculty and a great crew. It feels like family for me. It feels like home.
Well, the seasons here go lickety-split. Like we started off by talking about the original drama list that just opened, I think, last week, continues this weekend, and overlapping with performances of Into the Woods. Mm-hmm. What are you looking forward to as the semester and the year continues, Anthony?
Well, I'm thankfully booked. I'm directing two productions at the Civic this year, 1940s Radio Hour, which is their opener, followed by The Piano Lesson next winter in February. So I'm looking forward to working. And what a blessing it is to work after the past 18 months.
Yeah. It sort of had a questioning your whole existence aspect to it, didn't it?
Right.
And what are you looking forward to, Isaiah?
Coming to a close with college is wonderful to look forward to, but it's also nerves, like anxieties that Anthony was talking about. I care deeply about what I'm doing. I changed colleges to come here, and I'm looking forward to getting out there and going into the field and doing what I came here to do. But also, it's It's weird. It's anxieties. there's so much unknowns, but I'm trying to look at it with the unknowns with grace and excitement. Little Red says, scary is exciting in that sense. Mm-hmm. It's scary, but the unknowns, I know in the end, will be blessings with the opportunities I've had to learn here.
Do you have a strategy, like audition for everything ever? Or are you going to be a little bit more pointed
I think I'll be a lot open. There's a lot of things I want to try to do in, whether it be TV, film, theater, voiceover, whatever. And it's just, there's just so much out there. And I can't wait to see what I'm able to work on.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Wow. TV, film, theater, all of it.
All of it. Just want to give it a try at least. I think my idea or my motto in my head going into theater was me explaining it to my parents about switching colleges and majors was that, like, what if I look back in 40 years and look back and say what if, I guess.
Yeah. Well, keep using that voice in a really specific designed way for, you know, your auditions.
That's the plan.
It's a great asset you have there.
Yes.
I wish you all the best and myself the
yes.
best with this production. I'm feeling good about it as well. For the chance to see the cast together, the energy is incredible during rehearsal. I wish I could bottle it and then take a sip about 3 o'clock in the afternoon every day. There's just an overwhelming sense of love of performing on that stage.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be a terrific show. Again, it starts Friday. Details at WMUtheater.com. And Anthony J. Hamilton, Isaiah Lee, thanks for chatting about the show with me.
Thank you for having us.
I chose the last number. It's going to be the baker and his wife realizing that they can do a lot more when they cooperate and talk to each other. Communication.
You've changed. You're daring, you're different in the woods. More sure, more sharing, you're getting us through the woods. If you could see, you're not the man who started, and much more open-hearted than I knew you to be. It takes two. I thought